two rats, one piece of cheese. Rat versus rat. Competitor versus competitor. One goal. Who can be the first person, rat, to reach the cheese and get the goal? What if I told you you could survive the rat race without becoming a rat? What if I told you you could survive the rat race without becoming a rat? Now, there's a few different beliefs upon the origin of the term rat race. The one that seems most logical to me is that in testing, they have a maze with two rats and one piece of cheese, and the whole objective is who is the first rat that can beat the other rat and get the cheese. And we know this term rat race is used in life, in business, the idea of competing against another person for what you want most of all, and being willing to do whatever it takes to get that thing that you want and that the other person wants. Here's one definition of it. It says, a fierce competition to maintain or improve one's position in the workplace or social life. Now, I don't think there's any danger in wanting to improve your position and wanting to improve where you're at. I think it's this idea of a fierce competition and the idea that people can get wrapped up in the competition of that race and forget there's a different race that we've been called to run. We've all been called to run a race, but it's not the rat race. Or in the rat race, the race of life, the big idea is just not becoming a rat. I thought it was so funny as I've been preparing this message and writing in different places, not becoming a rat. It sounds like I'm calling other people rats. And that's not the big goal here, you know, is that we start viewing everybody else as, oh yeah, you're a rat. That's not the goal here, but we will use the terminology. You know, in January, we talked about the idea of how to get the most out of our work. Talked about how to get the most out of our work. We talked about the idea of work as worship. That what happened at the beginning when God created all things, it says that he planted a garden, but he hadn't caused anything to grow out of it because there was not a man to work the garden. It was a really interesting idea to me that basically God's saying, I'm not going to cause it to grow because there's no one to work it. But then he creates man and he puts it in him in the garden and he causes things to grow and he gives work as a gift to man, not to strive for survival, but to use his giftings and be busy about something, and his work really becomes worship. And we talked about the idea of how to reclaim our work as worship. We talked about being word ready when we go into our workplaces, that we're full of God's word and we're operating out of God's word in the workplace. We talked about tuning our hearts, and that's the idea of taking time, in ideally in the morning before we go to work, for time in God's word, for prayer, for worship, tuning our hearts so that when we walk into the workplace, we've got this joy and this peace about us and tuning our hearts into what God wants to do. We talked about this idea of signing God's signature, that we might work for a boss, but ultimately we work for our Heavenly Father, and that when we do our work, that we should be able to put his signature on it, that we work with such excellence and such detail and such care that we're saying, yes, God would approve of that. And then lastly, we talked about this, the idea of how God ultimately determines our promotion and our compensation, which is a pretty strong thought, but it's the reality that as we're walking with God and serving God, it's a matter of trust. That if I don't have the promotion and I'm working hard and I'm carrying out all the things that we talked about, maybe it's not a no from God, but it's not a not yet. And that we have to trust him because if we don't, we end up trying to strive against another person. We end up ungrateful for what we have. And so God ultimately determines our promotion and our compensation. Today, I want to build upon that heart foundation and give you a few more practical tips to make sure that we don't lose ourselves in this race called life. We're all in a race, but we have to realize that God has called us to run a different kind of race. in the city of Corinth, we're going to look in just a moment at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As Paul was writing this and thinking about the city of Corinth, everyone in Corinth understood the idea of a race. Corinth was a very busy city. It had a lot of import and export. Corinth also was a place that hosted what was called the Isthmian, I-S-T-H-M, try that, Isthmian, the Isthmian Games. These games were basically second in popularity to the Olympic Games, and they were held in Corinth. So basically, they're like the Winter Olympics. Some of you out there like the Winter Olympics better than the Summer Olympics, but may I inform you, you are a minority. So they were second in popularity to the Olympic Games. And Paul paints this picture of the athletic races that would take place within this city, and he parallels it to the race of faith and the race of life. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. He says to this crowd that would understand what he's saying, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." You know, it's an interesting thing that he's saying there, because it's not like he's saying that only one person, because he's paralleling it to faith. He's not saying that only one of us in here is going to get saved. You know, only one of us in here is going to win, so fight each other and win that race. What he's saying, I believe, is if you're going to run the race, just run to win. It's not all of us are running the race. We're all a part of it, and each and every one of us can win our race, is what he's saying. So run in such a way as to win. If you're going to run the race, if you're in here and you're going to run this race of life, run in a way that you're going to win. Why would you waste the time? Why would you waste the effort? Why would you waste what God has put in you here and now just to lose? But run in such a way as to win. And so then he says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it. I love the parallel. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. That would be exhausting. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I want to look at a few things. The first one is that a race has a clock. A race has a clock. The first part of that verse, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Run in such a way. Run in such a way as to get the prize. We have to pay attention to the way in which we run. We have to pay attention to the way in which we run. And I think the two simple things is we have to know when to slow down and when to speed up. In life, we have to understand the times that we need to slow down. And we have to also understand the times that it's time to seize opportunity and move up and speed up. How many of you know there are seasons of life that are faster than others? You know, there's this the idea of balance. How many of you have ever told you, been heard or been told you need to find balance? Find balance in your life. Really, balance, the way I think we think about it, is an illusion. Because the reality of balance is that to balance, you are always doing what? Correcting one way or the other. I think we have this idea of balance that's kind of like this. But the reality of balance is that as we walk through life, there are seasons that we realize, whoa, moving too fast. Got to slow down a little bit. Okay, well, now I'm getting really lazy, so I got to speed up a little bit in this time. That's really the idea of balance, that we are continuously having to make adjustments and figure out where we're at, figure out where God's leading us, figure out what step to take now, to continually find that place that we call balance. But really, you never find that one happy center. But in every season of life, you're constantly having to figure out which way to go. And I was thinking of a verse, a way to help us achieve balance. It's not on the screen for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and even in a little bit into 7, you may know it. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then it goes on to say, do not be wise in your own estimation. When I think of balance, and I think of this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, meaning that there is nothing that I have reserved from him, but I'm putting my full trust, and that is constantly like this too. You don't just find this place where you're like, handed all my trust over. You're constantly in life trying to figure out and continually, I'm holding it again. I need to give it back into his hands. You know, you probably just keep going that way, you know, because we're always kind of going this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, this is the point of balance, knowing when to slow down and when to speed up in different seasons of life. Because when you trust him with all your heart and you lean not on your own understanding, what you're saying is, God, I don't have all the answers. God, I don't know what way to go. God, I don't know if I'm messing my kids up or helping them. God, I don't know if I'm being a good husband or I'm being a good wife. I need to lean on your understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. God, I need your wisdom today. Because the promise is that as you're doing that, he's going to make your path straight in front of you. And don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but keep looking to him and asking for wisdom. One of my favorite things to pray over people when they need help or they come to the altar is I often pray James that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, just ask for it, and God will give it without partiality. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. God wants us to have wisdom. And so we can't lean on our own wisdom. We need to lean on his. You know, the pace of the race matters. The pace of the race matters. And sometimes we need to slow down and enjoy the things around us. And in a few weeks, we're going to talk about this idea of rest. And we're going to look at many facets of rest. You know, opportunity is the best opportunity. Opportunity is the best opportunity. And we want to be positioned to a place to take advantage of opportunities. And we need to look for the opportunity to take advantage of opportunities. And I know in life what happens is that we celebrate opportunity that we seized, and we regret opportunity that we didn't seize. And sometimes if we're moving too fast through life, we're not able to see the opportunities. Maybe you found other opportunities, and your career is continuing to move forward, and you're continuing to provide more, but then maybe you're missing the best opportunities. Because in the end, some area is going to get cheated. It's actually a principle. You have to cheat in some area. But the question is, what will you cheat? Do I have to let somebody else down to make sure my kids know they're most important? Because I'll cheat that area to make sure they don't feel cheated. And so we have to manage this pace of life and make sure that we are slowing down enough to seize the real opportunities that we need to in life. And that sometimes if we're moving too fast, you're not going to have what it takes to finish the race. So you have to know when to scale back as you look to the Lord and allow him to lead you. And I think the most of us have a harder time slowing down than we do speeding up. So I won't speak a whole lot to speeding up. The second thing I want to look at with a race is that a race has a lane. A race has a lane. Verse 26 says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Other translations, Paul writes, I don't run with uncertainty. I don't run with uncertainty, which means he runs with certainty. Somebody said faith. That's the right answer, too. I'm sorry I set you up for that. Jesus, that's the answer. Which means Paul is running with certainty. He's running with clarity. He's running with direction. He's running with purpose. And I felt very strongly that God wanted me to remind someone in here today that the race has purpose. And if the race has purpose, the racer has a purpose. your race, your life. When I was writing this, I felt like it was so cliche for people to say, well, you've got purpose. And I felt like God was just saying to me, don't move past that too quickly. Because someone in that room today needs to remember and needs to hear you individually, your race has purpose. You may be in a place right now or in a season of life that you don't feel like your race has purpose. But even more than your race having purpose, you as the racer have purpose. The race has purpose. The racer has purpose. Life has a purpose. You have a purpose. And sometimes being in the midst of the race, you could begin to doubt your purpose. Somewhere in between changing diapers and planning networks for companies or reading blueprints or checking inventory or preparing quotes or making breakfast and cleaning breakfast and making a snack and cleaning a snack and guess what? It's lunchtime. Is it lunchtime yet? Making lunch and cleaning lunch and then doing laundry and then preparing for dinner and making dinner and cleaning dinner. Man, does anyone else ever feel like that? Like we just cleaned up and now it's time to eat again. Sometimes in the midst of those things, if we're not careful, we forget that we have purpose in that. And if we're not careful, these things that we do become our ultimate purpose. These things that we do, if we're not careful, become our ultimate identity. But this is where we forget that the race we're really running, this is the place where if we're not careful, we end up growing a tail and whiskers, and we get wrapped up in this rat race. The truth that is, these things that you do, they're a part of your purpose. These things that you do, they are a part of your identity. But your ultimate purpose, the ultimate grand purpose, everything else you do fits within this thing. Your ultimate purpose is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus summed everything up into. You exist for that, to love God with everything and to love the people around you. And that your ultimate identity is son and daughter of the Most High God. That is who you are. He defines your identity. Your identity cannot be in what you do because one day you may not do what you do. And then what are you left with? I remember in a very difficult season of ministry, you know, all I ever wanted to be was a youth pastor. I'm a youth pastor and I'm in a very hard season of ministry and we felt like it was time for God's timing for us to step away, and it was this mutual decision, and I felt like a complete failure. And then I had to get a job doing something else for a while, waiting for what it was that God had for us next. And I remember having to remind myself, my identity is not youth pastor, because I wasn't a youth pastor at that time. And if I thought my whole identity was wrapped up in that, when I lost that, I would have lost all my identity. But my identity was son of God, to love him and love people around me no matter what season I'm in and no matter what I'm doing. Your race has purpose. You as the racer have purpose. You have a lane. We, as a runner, we have to remember we have a lane. Because another area we get ourselves in danger is when we begin to focus on the lane of someone else. When you measure your life against another person, if you're not careful, what's meant to inspire you will enslave you. We can spend so much time looking at the lane of somebody else and looking how somebody else is running, which is very easy with social media these days. You know, and I haven't quite encountered that, but I know there are people that have had to step away from social media because all they find is this hate for who they are and where they are in life, looking at where everyone else is. And we can do that in so many different ways. We look at the lane of somebody else, and I think that there can be good in that. I think looking at the life of somebody else is meant to inspire us. Wow. Look at what they're doing. Man, I want to do something like that one day. I wonder how they got there, how they're doing that thing. I want to learn from them. But if we're not careful, staring in someone else's lane too long no longer inspires you. It enslaves you. It trips you up. And all of a sudden, you're farther behind than you would have been just running your own race. See, rats pour their energy into beating everyone else, staring at everyone else and making sure they're better than that person and they're farther ahead than that person. But you are meant to pour your energy into making sure you are in the will of God in your lane. And when you're in the will of God, you have the peace of God and the joy of God and the favor of God and the direction of God and the assurance of God that maybe I'm not where I thought I'd be, but God, I know that I'm with you and you're walking me and I'm going to trust you in my journey. Otherwise, you could drive yourself absolutely crazy. Because even if you don't get the corner office, even if you don't get the award, even if you don't get the promotion, even if you don't beat last year's quota, even if you don't get there before them, even if you get overlooked, even if, we can stress and worry and strive against people and focus on their lane, and then you get wrapped up in the rat race. And you are more productive and more fulfilled when you focus on your lane and you run the race that you have been called to run. Just make sure you're running your race the best way you possibly can. And the things that God has put in your heart, He will bring about at the proper time. And that is a hard thing to do. And it's, again, back to the balancing act. A race has competitors. A race has competitors. 1 Corinthians 9:24, another part of it says, do you not know in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? There are other runners in the race, but your main competitor is not the woman trying to underbid you or to take your spot on the company flowchart. Your main competitor is not the mommy with the new van pressing buttons to open doors and waving. You ever seen these ones where you wave your foot under the back, you got stuff in your hands, and you wave it right under the back bumper, and it's like, beep, welcome. You know, and the door folds open, and you can just set it in, and then you wave your foot back under it, and it shuts again. I had to test and see if our new van did that. It doesn't. Man, it doesn't have one of those, but we did get the sliding door thing. That's the best thing ever, except now it's created tension and fighting between my kids. I want to press the button. You pressed the button last time. Well, I'm going to go press the button on the other side, you know, and then both doors. It's just ridiculous. Your main competitor is not the mommy with the better van than you. Our main competitor that will steal our crown is our own flesh. Our own struggles, our own sin patterns, our selfishness, our spiritual laziness. It's our adversary, the devil, taking advantage of our weaknesses that is our main enemy, our main competitor. People are not your enemy. They feel like your enemy, and the enemy will use them to make them your enemy, but then you put your focus on them instead of the real enemy, him and you, because nobody can make you do anything. You have control of you. I know we try to instill this in our children. Well, did you have to hit them? Yes. No, you didn't. You had control over you. You couldn't control what they said to you. You couldn't control what they did to you, but you had complete control of what you said and what you did. Our main competitor is us. And the enemy will use people to get the best of you and pull you into that rat race. But if you spend the time dealing with yourself, dealing with your weaknesses and your shortcomings and what you say and what you do, no matter what the people around you do, because listen, nobody can hold you back from God's plan for your life. You need to hear that today, even in the marketplace, even where you're at, even if you don't feel like you're where you're supposed to be. No one can hold you back from God's will for you as long as you're running your race, pursuing His will. He will do what He needs to do and move who He needs to move and put you where you need to be to fulfill His calling on your life. But too many of us, we get so scared that we're not doing what we need to do and we're not getting ahead and that person got noticed and that person got the credit. I should have got the credit. I should have gotten noticed. And you will sabotage God's will for you. But if you can trust that you are in his hands, are you in his hands or are you not in his hands? And if you can trust that you're in his hands and he will see to completion the good work he started in you, and in that, you will find fullness of life. In that, you will find the joy that you need to live in. You may have to go through harder seasons and more difficult seasons and more disappointing seasons than the other person, but you are the person in the will of God. And if you're going to pursue the will of God, you're probably going to suffer more than most. But in it, you will find the greatest joy and the greatest purpose. The last thing is that a race has a trophy or a prize. A race has a trophy or a prize. I know there's a typo on the screen. A race has trophy or prize. I was told when we looked at them earlier that if I read it with a Russian accent, then it was okay. Race has trophy or prize. Grammar doesn't count when you do it like that. I'm the kind of person that points to the pimple. I got it. You know what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. See, the runners in the Isthmian Games would receive a wreath as a crown. They didn't even get a medal. They got a wreath. And that wreath would wither, and it would fade. And if you were my wife, you would hang it on a wall as a dried flower. Rats run for cheese. And cheese rots. Let others have the cheese. Next time somebody wants to fight over a workspace, say, it's just cheese, man. You don't have to say that to them. Might be kind of funny, though. You could just leave an anonymous post-it note on their door. It's just cheese. The next time someone wants to take the credit that belongs to you, it's just cheese. Next time somebody wants to make you look dumb on purpose, it's just cheese. Next time somebody wants to get the best of you and agitate you and pull the worst out of you, it's just cheese. I was trying to get a cheese hat, but I couldn't. Because the truth is, if God is for you, who can be against you? You may be in the race, but you don't have to be a rat. You run for something more. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is Paul writing at the end of his life when he knew he was about to be killed for his faith and beheaded in Rome. And he's telling his young protege Timothy, just reminding him of some things. And that's where I want to be at the end. Not that I have fought my brother and my sister. Not that I have fought for promotion and placement. I don't want to spend my life striving against people. I'm going to strive against myself, and I'm going to strive to be in the will of God. And at the end of my life, I will say, I have fought the good fight. The rat race is not the good fight. Your race of faith is the fight. I fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now, there is in store for me a crown, a reward that no one can take away, that will not wither, that will not fade. It's more than just cheese. And I love how it says, to those who long for his appearing. We need to spend our lives longing most of all for his appearing, when he's going to come back for us. When we'll get to see him face to face. I don't know, did you experience something powerful in this room today when we were worshiping? you get wrapped up at times in this presence where you feel like you can see and sense God. But even that is just a shadow. I mean, it's like looking at a shadow. You can't see my shadow up here, but if you could look at a shadow, you have no idea what the person really looks like. And that is what we see of God here and now. You simply see the shadow. And the difference between seeing a shadow and meeting me and seeing me is so vastly different. And we have to spend our lives looking and loving the shadow that we see. And it is so fulfilling and so incredible and so powerful. But it doesn't even compare to seeing the one that we spent our whole life longing for. And that's what I'm running for, my friends. What are you running for? And the hope is that we run this race without becoming a rat, and that maybe we can rescue some people out of it as well. Help pull them. They're stuck in this maze of high walls and not even sure. I'm taking a right, but I don't know if it's the correct way. I'm taking a left, and do I need to go backward? And yet we're standing on top of the maze, looking out and seeing with clarity, and we're pulling other people up and helping them see. So maybe you're in here today and you feel like you're stuck in this rat race. I'd love to take a moment and pray for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. Maybe you're in here this morning and let's start here. You don't feel like you have a relationship with Jesus. You don't feel like you've taken a step into the life that he's offered you. See, what happened is that God became man, and he lived the life that you and I should have lived, a perfect life, a life without sin, a life loving and leading people and teaching and healing the sick and setting us an example. And then he was taken, but he gave his life. And he was murdered on a cross. And when he gave his life, the payment of his life paid for your sin. He suffered the death that we should have died in our place. And then he rose from the dead in 3 days, securing life for us, for everyone that would put their faith in him and trust in him. And if you're in here this morning, you're saying, I want to do that. I want to take that step. I want to put my trust in him. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Would you just lift your hand into the air so I know who to pray for this morning? Just lift your hand. I want to follow you, Jesus. All you got to do is say something like this in your heart. He sees your heart. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Forgive me today. Lead me. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for those this morning that feel caught up in the wrong race. I pray you'd renew us right now. Help us carry these things back into the race tomorrow, but let us run a different race, that we're not running the race the world runs. We're running a race that you have put us on. Help us to pay attention to the lane you've put us in. Help us to remember that we have purpose. I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus for those that feel without purpose, that your life hasn't mattered, that right now God would restore your purpose to you, that you belong to him. He created you. You are not an accident. Where you're at is not on accident. And he wants to lead you today. And he's restoring purpose, not just in what you do, but who you are, because he loves who you are far more than he cares what you do. He didn't create you to work for him. He created you to love him, for him to love you, and then you could walk in the works that he set for you to do. Restore us today. Send us out this week as runners in the race of faith.